Someone's got to do the man from another place dance, because Lord knows he ain't doing it anymore.
That's right.
Not in his current state.
Yeah, he looks like he's doing okay, though, in his current state.
He's got a good thing going.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, his doppelganger, real son of a bitch.
Oh, well, yeah. You don't want to mess with that guy.
You really don't, but... Doesn't seem like you can really determine when, like, you can't, there's, what are the triggers that set him off?
Yeah, unclear.
Walking down the hall?
Yeah, unclear.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of unclear, this is the unclear hour. That's what we should have called this. But really, it's called Antoine Peaks, a reference to a commercial from 22 years ago, probably, maybe more.
Probably, I think more.
Is that a late 90s or an early, is it post or pre 9/11?
I feel like that's a pre 9/11 world.
That may have been the last thing that happened before 9/11. It was just like, we're gonna live forever and drink light beer.
Yeah. And then, you know, we had a 9/11. And everybody's like, we can't talk about twins anymore. Is that?
Oh,
you see?
Wow. That Osama bin Laden fella ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, we.
Way to go, Osama bin Laden. Thanks a lot, man.
I couldn't even have sexual fantasies about twins anymore.
Biological sister. Anyway, it's a gross beer commercial, and we're elder millennials, so that's our frame of reference.
Yep.
And this is actually a Twin Peaks podcast. We're on the return. We're on part two of the return. Also, I'm going to call it episode two, like a normal guy, instead of part two. I don't cotton to that.
Yeah, part 12. Like, come on.
All right, okay, where are we? Yeah, well, actually, we don't count the first three episodes. Those are episodes A, B, and C. Shut up. Grow up. Just season three, episode two, aka part two of the return.
Yeah,
but shut up if you said that.
Would it be fun for a show to present its episodes out of order on purpose? And present them that way, as if like, oh, this is episode one of season three. And then next week you're like, wait, episode seven? Wait, what's going on? Did they fuck up? And then it just throws everyone off.
It would be kind of fun, but you couldn't, like, there couldn't be any sort of like deeper meaning to it. It would, like, I relish the idea of a guy being like, I rearranged all the episodes and into chronological order. And actually, if you watch it that way, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I like the idea of ruining someone's good time. destroying fan theories in the womb.
Sure.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Aborting fan theories. I get it.
Yeah. And that, of course, is... one of the many ways that we are pro-abortion.
So, yeah.
Many ways.
Many ways.
That raises more questions than it answers.
Yeah. You mean more than just two ways? Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in time, the whole world will understand.
And for the rest of the episode, I will be reading from my manifesto.
Oh, jeez. Dan and Rob here, of course.
I'm Rob.
I'm sort of the Agent Cooper of the show. Rob, of course, really more of a, what's his name?
Mr. C?
More of a Mr. C, yeah.
Or Ben Hastings.
Sort of the wild. You're the wild child.
Sure. Or Bill Hastings, I said Ben.
That's okay.
Oh, God.
That's okay. You're nothing like him. You're nothing like him, I hope.
Yeah, me too.
You're sort of the Bill Hastings. I'm sort of that guy two cells down.
Covered in soot.
I'm doing the face.
Yeah.
Whoa. And then he floats away.
Yep.
I like that the scary stuff in this one is mostly funny.
Like that guy?
Yeah. Like that guy, not that scary, mostly funny.
What about Laura Palmer? Did you think her whole thing when she flew away was scary?
I thought it was funny. Yeah, she goes, whoop. It's a little scary. I think...
Only because she's screaming directly into camera.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about Laura. She's always doing that.
Ugh.
And it's like, I guess the implications of it are very troubling, right?
I suppose, but... Good, you know.
I mean, we're talking about
100 times, sort of diminishing returns, you know.
But getting sucked off into, well, not sucked off, but let me rephrase: getting sucked up into who knows where,
right?
Falling into oblivion.
Getting sucked off into oblivion. Sure.
There are places beyond the lodges.
Oh yeah.
Or non-places.
Right. Places that, don't exist.
Yeah. Non-existent.
Uh-oh. Got a real beans problem here.
And again, if you're new to the show, that's Rob's cat.
It's my cat Beans.
He doesn't have a traditional beans problem, like too many or too few.
Right. Maybe hill of, you know, that I don't care about. So this is episode 2. More mysteries presented, of course.
I'm loving all these not getting any answers moments.
Do you like them, really?
No, I want one answer per episode.
Sure.
Instead of just...
You can raise 10 questions, but just give me one answer, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know if it's an answer, but we get a little bit more, say, filling as far as like that glass box in New York City,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And we'll get there, of course. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
I have full faith and trust in the creative team behind this project.
Sure. I believe they know what they're doing.
I have to. I have no choice.
Right.
So we pick up with our old friend Matthew Lillard.
Yep.
As Bill Hastings. The vicious murderer and body reassembler, we think.
Yeah.
We suspect.
Yeah, he was arrested for the murder of Ruth Davenport, of course. And, his fingerprints are all over the crime scene. No good. Not a good look.
No. Real Italian serial killer vibes. Was that before we started recording? I think it was.
I think it was too, but
whoops.
But yeah, for listeners, don't worry about it.
That's my nickname.
Yeah, Dan the Italian.
And soon the whole world will know.
we pick up with Bill in his jail cell, just really sort of
self-soothing. He's he's taking his fingertips, running them along his head, and then restarting.
Yeah.
It's this. This is like classic Davey kind of stuff where it's just like there's something so unnatural about the way he's doing it. It's very like ritualistic kind of.
Sure.
So he's sitting there doing that. And his wife, who had her dinner party ruined.
Yeah.
Can't stress this enough. shows up.
Yeah, Phyllis. Yeah.
Phyllis. And she takes a turn here. Now we're watching this. I mean, we're recording this episode one day after we recorded our Lost Highway episode.
Yep.
And like, we don't know really anything about Phyllis at this point, just that she had her dinner party ruined. And that is like a huge focus of her energy yeah. as her husband's being taken away in handcuffs.
Yeah. She's real pissed about ruining the dinner party.
Yeah. So when she kind of like comes into focus here as like, you know, uncaring and even like two timing.
Yeah.
It makes that stuff make sense. But it also reminded me of Lost Highway when Alice mm-hmm. sort of just like switches on a dime on Pete.
Yeah. There,
right. Yeah, yeah. And this is like, I think, I don't know, based on what information we have about Bill, which mm-hmm. is that like, it's not clear whether to what extent he did the murdering, like how yeah. much he was in control of that.
Uh-huh.
I feel like he's like more sympathetic here at this point.
Sure. I mean, so when Phyllis goes to visit Bill, he is like, you know, he's in sort of a panic state, of course. And yeah, I didn't kill Ruth Davenport. I killed her, of course. And he's like, he's talking to Phyllis like, you know, please, I didn't do this. Like, please, you have to believe me. And she's like, you know, she says, I've known about you and Ruth for a while now. And he snaps and he gets like, I really like this performance from Lillard because it goes from like desperate and like super vulnerable to just full of rage on a dime. And he's like, I know about you and George, his lawyer. And maybe even another one
or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and she at this point is like full on. This is like soap opera acting.
Yes.
Where she's just like, you're going away for a long time.
Yeah. Yes.
Shoulders shaking.
Yep. So Bill knows that he's not going to get any help or sympathy from his wife. When she leaves, she's walking out George, his lawyer, walks in and they see each other and they start talking. And I think he says, how's he doing? And she says, not well. He knows about us, or he knows. And George is like, uh-oh. And she's like, don't walk me out.
Good advice.
We do see Bill in his cell and the camera sort of dollies to the right, showing other cells. And at the end, there's a cell with a man in it who is just covered in head to toe in like black soot.
Yeah,
he's just the dirtiest guy I've ever seen.
Like,
so white,
wide eyed, and his eyes are so white. It looks like in a cartoon when they're in the dark and you just see the eyes.
Yeah, and then
you know,
and then that guy floats away, sort of like disappears, and
he like dematerializes away. And then rematerializes, floating away. Yeah,
yeah. Dan, any guesses this guy is? It's all pretty clear. You don't know questions needed.
It's all pretty cut and dry. Okay, so my fear is that it's Cooper. I don't think they'd do him like that.
Uh-huh.
I pray they won't do him like that.
All right.
But I do at least think he comes from wherever Cooper ends up at the end of this episode.
Gotcha. Okay. I like it.
You know, like in the non-existent place.
Yes.
Because much in the way that Cooper is sort of like seemingly just going to be popping in and out of existence.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But of course we'll get to that.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. obviously, I don't know.
No, I know. That's why I'm asking for a guess. That's it.
It does a little bit evokes like in Fire Walk With Me when we see people painted like black and white. Right. Mm-hmm. But more white than black. Like Leland,
that?
I think Leland and Laura at certain points. Yes. They're like white and their lips are black.
Yep.
It's giving opposite of that, I guess. Okay. Just like literal opposite. But yeah, so it does kind of like the it's different enough that I think like it's got something to do with this new place or non-place that we're learning about.
Like it. All right.
Am I right?
No, I'm not going to. I can't tell you, man.
That's how I know I'm right. If I'm wrong, you'd say no.
So
I'm very clever.
A clever young boy.
Real Encyclopedia Brown over here. Is he a kid detective? Is that what he does?
Yeah. Okay, have you seen that movie, The Kid My name, Detective?
It's Encyclopedia. No, what is that?
I think that's, yeah, The Kid Detective with Adam Brody. Not Adrian Brody. Adam Brody. He plays a grown-up kid detective, like a kid. He was a kid detective, and then like something real actually happened, like a girl that from his school actually got kidnapped, and he was trying to, when he was a kid, he was trying to solve the case, and it, you know. Oh, can you hang on? I need to take this phone call. Sorry, that was about a job.
Ah,
bartending
starting
gig.
Starting a new podcast.
Yeah.
Oh man, by the way, I had a joke I wanted to make last night. It doesn't really apply anymore because I feel a lot better, but
okay.
You remember when I was telling you when I was batting, playing baseball, I got dinged on the elbow pretty bad?
Uh-huh.
I wanted to make a joke that they were going to have to give me the Les Paul treatment and set it in a, but I'd have to get it set so that I could podcast. I need my elbow locked at an angle that I can adjust the boom stand.
I have to be able to adjust the boom stand. That's the most important thing in my life.
I need my arm locked straight out so I can press record.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. Where were we here?
We were, of course, talking about Phyllis's two-timing. Oh, you were denying that I have a pretty good handle on what that guy in the cell was all about.
Yeah.
You sounded like OJ, RIP, the way you were just denying obvious truths.
Isn't it so funny to pay respects to a dead murderer? a notorious murderer for the past 30 years. The guy has been known for, you know, just the one thing that he did that time.
Yeah.
You know, all of the, you know, RIP to, I mean, my favorite actor in the Naked Gun movies, of course, O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Yeah. So... Phyllis,
she leaves, she goes home, and when she walks in, who's standing there in the dark but Mr. C? And she says something like, what are you doing here? But not like, she says it almost like
it's like fun and flirty. She's like, I wasn't, oh
yeah, basically
Mr. C.
Yeah, she's like, so the way that she says it is almost like, I didn't expect you, you know, so soon or whatever to be here. And then he says,
he says, you followed human nature perfectly.
That's it. Yes. You followed human and nature then, perfectly.
And then pulls out a gun and says, this is George's gun, and shoots Phyllis through the head.
Yes.
Folks. We got a head wound.
We do have another head wound.
Davey's just racking up head wounds.
Yeah, this guy, the bodies are stacking up. Interesting head wound also. When we see it, it's like it has this sort of this slight glowing aspect to it, like around the edges of the wound.
I didn't really catch that. No. Yeah.
It seemed to shimmer a bit, so I thought it was unusual for
like in a supernatural way, or like it was just like a trick of the light kind of thing.
I thought it was supposed to be played as a supernatural thing.
You think he's got?
Is it
some sort of Men in Black style gun?
Unless it's just the light, lighting of the scene, but I think that was done on purpose there. And then from there, we go to Las Vegas. See, the thing with this episode, too, I feel like a lot, there are, like, contained sort of scenes. Like that's all we get about Bill Hastings and Phyllis and all of them for the time being, right? Then we go to Vegas and...
I call it, wages.
Lost wages. And we see we're in the office of Duncan Todd, played by Dan's favorite actor, Patrick Fischler.
I like it when he shows up.
I mean, he's good. He's always
good.
I hate what
he did to me that one time.
When he scared
back
you
behind
so
Winkies.
Bad.
Yeah, he scared me so bad. I mean, he didn't.
His friend did, though.
Yeah, but it's like when you see someone throw up and you throw up, he got so scared that I was like, I'm so scared.
Yeah, yeah. And he calls in his assistant, Roger, and hands him a stack of money. And he says, to tell her that she has the job. And Roger asks, why Mr. Todd lets him... make him do these things. And Mr. Todd says, you don't ever, or like, you never hope that you never get involved with someone like him. Hmm. Right. Pretty scary.
Yeah. We're in like a very fancy looking office in Las Vegas, which I call Lost Wages.
Right.
Do the gambling that takes place there. But, like, you know, Vegas, known for being sort of like a dark heart of the known universe.
yeah.
And, like, the people who have money there, like, what's that fucking guy's name?
Running it?
Yeah. There's
Steve,
like,
Wynn.
is his name, like, Sheldon Adler or something?
Who is that?
I don't know. There's, like, a... Sheldon Adelson is his name, but he's like one of those guys, like a Vegas guy who's just like, he's famous for bankrolling, basically both political parties.
Hell yeah.
you know, as it suits his needs.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, these are guys with so much money that they can do shit like that. Real true power brokers. So for this guy, to, you know, pull out like $20,000 or whatever, hand it to his assistant and say, tell her she has the job. And then also be like, I am so scared every day of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Side note, Dan, you know what you never hear about and what people should be thinking about more, right? When, you know, when you see like somebody win the lottery and then they're like, we were talking about this, like when you win, people win the lottery and then they just completely go insane and, like, piss away all of their money on, like, the dumbest shit possible and whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't ever hear about, like, some, like, Joe Schmo winning the lottery and then, like, you know, like, backing political parties for his own gain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we're all thinking, like, way too small, I think, as, like, a group of people. If I were, I got to write that down. If I ever win the lottery, I have to
form a power network.
Yeah. You got to, like, that's, I think that's the best investment, right? Is just holding money over politicians' heads, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like for your own personal gain. That seems to be just where the real power and money is.
You just be like, I want you to do a little dance on the Senate floor today.
Yeah.
I don't care what you vote for. I just want you to do a little dance for me.
Do a little fucking dance.
I'm going to be looking to see if you do the Conan O'Brien pretend you have strings attached to your hips dance.
Oh, I watched Conan O'Brien was on Hot Ones the other day, which, yeah. You know, Hot Ones, I think some of the episodes are like really excellent. And some of the people that he has on there like have actual... like Viola Davis's episode, she is outstanding. And like the things that she's talking about are, I think, really, really great advice for people. But the Conan O'Brien one is one of the funniest things ever because it starts off with him saying, you know, he asks, like, how used to you are spices? Yeah, how used to spices are you?
Like, and Conan foods. O'Brien said that. Wow, he's been on camera for years. He has a podcast. You'd think someone with a podcast,
you wouldn't be such a
wouldn't make that mistake
after all of these years. And Conan O'Brien says, you know, I grew up in an Irish Catholic family. I didn't taste a spice until I was 52 years old. Whatever. And then he spends the rest of the episode like taking huge bites and like putting a comical amount of hot sauce on everything. And he's just like, I'm not getting anything. I don't get anything over here. Like all of the hottest things that are like on previous episodes of like crippled people. And they're like, you know, yeah. Like Shaq has been on there and he's like, I can't do it. And Conan O'Brien.
I like picking Shaq because it's like he's gigantic. Yeah. So you're like.
Yeah, I mean, that was like
not even Shaq could do
not even the biggest man that I could
that's
think
like,
of. Shaq.
That's like in the 1400s. You'd be like,
yeah, but it's a very like, and he's like rubbing the hot sauce on his face and stuff. And,
oh my God.
And he's just like, I'm getting nothing. And like snot is coming out of his nose and he's like drooling and it's spitting.
I gotta check this out, I guess.
He's wearing, you know, he's wearing like a suit and tie or whatever, and he's just like wiping his hands on the suit and tie and like putting like half eaten wings in his pockets. It's very funny.
Guy's a pro.
He's a fucking pro.
So yeah. I ask that we probably have like 10 more minutes before a break, right?
Yeah. Why do you want to take a break now?
No. Let's get some good shit in.
Okay.
Let's at least get through like the log lady call and we'll come back to the red room.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about Hawk and the log lady right now. She, okay. Hawk is, he goes into the woods and, you know, we get one of the classic sort of Twin Peaks shots where it's completely dark and only, you know, you can only see like a small circle of light from a from a flashlight. So much of the show is lit by flashlights.
Yeah. I mean, so much of this show is about the limits of your perception.
What? No, that can't be right.
Mm. All right. I'll back to the drawing board then. All right. But yeah. Log lady calls Hawk, who, yep. And by the way, I'm pro log lady now.
Are you on her side?
I have to be. She's not doing well. Her health is failing. Actual rest in peace to the log lady.
Yeah.
I rescind my OJ rest in peace and I transfer it over to the log lady.
All right. Well, I'm sticking with my RIP OJ, but
so you're team OJ, I'm team log lady.
Yeah, yeah.
And listeners out there, how about you weigh in with the hashtag OJ versus Log Lady, the Log Lady versus OJ Simpson,
right? A Ryan Murphy production.
That whole thing's the hashtag. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So Hawk is walking through. He gets a call on his cell from the Log Lady, and she says the stars turn and time presents itself, and she says that she can't go with him. But she invites him over for coffee and pie, and which is nice of her, I think.
I thought so. But then Hawk visits our old friend, the Pool of Sludge.
Yes, the Pool of Sludge with those trees now having grown quite a bit.
Yes, the sycamore trees. They're my how you've grown. And this is Glastonbury Grove, is that right?
I guess. That's what this wiki thing says, right?
Yeah. And if we click Glastonbury Grove, we will see. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Of course. Of course.
Of course. And while Hawk is there, he's like shining a light. And we do see like some red curtains.
Yeah. The Black Lodge, the opening of the Black Lodge kind of presents itself.
Yeah.
And I assume Hawk can see this, right?
That's what I assumed also, is that like, because the curtains aren't super clear. They are still like a bit transparent. So it doesn't seem like he can walk into it, but it seems like he can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, right, because I'm remembering Truman also sees everything when Cooper actually does go in.
Yes.
So Hawk would also be able to see it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, were you going to say more about that scene?
No.
I was going to jump over to the diner with Mr. C.
I was actually going to save all the Mr. C and Cooper stuff until after the break. Just talk about the one other sort of scene, just like, you know, single scene moment, which is much later on in the episode. We see the outside of the Palmer household, and Sarah Palmer is inside and drinking a lot and smoking her cigarettes and watching videos of lions eating water buffalo.
Yeah. Really brutal, fascinating footage. Like,
yeah.
The way, because you don't think about, you just think about like after they've killed it, but like the process of killing a water buffalo for these lions, one of them's just like riding it basically, trying to take it down.
Yeah.
And then we get that great shot of her head on with the mirrors behind her, and you see the footage in the mirrors.
Yep.
But again, just these like slices of it, right? Not the whole picture.
Yep. So, and I think with that, we're going to take a quick break.
And we'll be right back. And where will we be right back? We're stepping through the green curtain.
Yeah, we're going to the green room.
The green lodge.
Yeah. And if you also want to step through the green curtains and enter the Green Lodge, you can do so over at patreon.com/kingmepod and sign up for the $5 a month tier.
Link in the show notes.
Yeah. And you get all kinds of bonus content, including the rest of these Twin Peaks episodes.
We'll be right back. I'm going to the Brown Lodge.